Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
What's up, D3 Nation? We are back. It is D3 Potty Boy Central. It is a fantastic episode. We have Mustang Classic preview that's going to take the big bulk of the episode. We'll go back. We'll hit a quick preview on some other games. Mostly just mention that they're happening, but we'll hit a big preview on Mustang Classic and a review on the past week that was in Division III lacrosse. But before we all the way dive in, Big Dog, give us a quick how we doing and a quick swarm update.
Oh, love you, Dan. Thanks for having me on, as always. Doing well. And hey, the swarm is doing awesome right now. We're gearing up. Preseason practices have looked good. We got our last one tomorrow night before our first games. We got a doubleheader in Philly on Sunday. So
really?
Gonna be
you
a
got
big
action
weekend.
Right after Mustang Classic?
I go from Mustang Classic Saturday night to Philly Sunday morning for a game.
Wow.
It's going to be a lacrosse-packed weekend. I love it. Can't wait.
So with that big weekend in mind, what do you say we officially get moving here on D3 Pod Time?
Yeah, let's go.
We are big time Mustang Classic bound, heading to the house that Tyler Steinberg built, and it's going to be a great weekend. So let's do this thing.
Let's go. Oh, Dan, loving life. It was a great weekend of lacrosse. Got to sit inside and watch a ton of it this weekend. And yeah, happy to be chatting with you.
You went full couch potato mode?
Oh, full on. Had Ben Jones come over with his wife. We got all cuddled up on the couch. Oh, it was great. Ordered some pizza.
Oh, wow. It was a real party.
Couldn't ask for a more perfect day.
Gosh, that doesn't get better than that.
Nope.
Lacrosse double date pizza couch session.
Oh, it's what springs are made for, man.
No doubt. And what else springs are made for? Lots of lacrosse action. None other than outside of the national championship, the premier weekend in Division III lacrosse, no doubt. And it's really Friday, Saturday action, not a full weekend action, but that still gives you your Sunday to catch the regular slate of games and to get a little piece of the weekend in to relax and prepare yourself for the following week. So you get all the best of every single world, especially the Division III lacrosse world, with the Mustang Classic coming up here on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, it's like Christmas for me. You know, we talk about it every year. You mark my calendar. I take off work. I do everything I can. This is one of the biggest days of the year, and I can't believe it's finally here, man.
And last year, between the two of us, we were there for all 10 games. And it was fantastic. I mean, every single episode. I mean, at that point, it really does feel like you're watching a TV show of lacrosse games. But every single game is fantastic. Whether, you know, they're close or not, each one has each little intricacies that are super valuable, especially for us who use the Mustang Classic to really, you know, get a ton of analysis in that will then let us draw lots of conclusions for, you know, the rest of the season. So obviously a huge day for us. We started with a huge day with a very important step. IHOP.
Yes. The biggest first step. And Dan, question for you, putting you on the spot. Do you know the order? You know your order yet?
Yeah, no, I don't. See, the truth is, when I get there, I'm going to have to kind of feel it out. And not just there, like, you know, that morning, it's a feel-out process for two different routes you go. You go sweet, right? I think it'd be foolish to not get any pancakes at the International House of Pancakes.
I think you're right there, yep. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't know that I can go carb loading with a whole bunch of sugar and all of that pancake, you know, and then still be set up for success in a highly active day following that.
I was going to say, maybe, we got a long day ahead of us for sugar-filled pancakes.
For sure. So maybe it's a combo. You get there, you get some bacon, sausage, your normal eggs, that type of a thing. Maybe some sort of bowl, you know, Southwestern bowl with some hash browns.
Okay.
Something like that to start off. But at the bare minimum, I'm going to get a little side, at least a side pancake. It's the International House.
It's literally what they do there, man.
You don't go to a steakhouse and order fish.
Nope.
You don't go to IHOP and leave without a little pancake
action. With a pancake. Fair enough. I'm in a tough boat right now because I'm in wedding season diet for me. So trying to lose a couple lbs. International House of Pancakes is not where you want to be for that.
Around me in general, I'm a horrible influence. I eat horribly. I eat whatever's in front of me just for the sake of quickness.
You know, remember me at the national championship last year? I was hounding that media platter in the back.
No cheese sticks. People don't forget. You go to Philly for a game. You have national championship on the line here. You go to Philly, you're thinking cheese sticks. Barbecue? Pulled pork? It was delicious. Huh? Don't get me wrong. I was prepared for cheese sticks.
They did have the pretzels, though. The classic Philly pretzels, which are always good.
True.
So it's going to be a tough one for me. Think I'm going to stick with my Colorado omelet, though. A lot of protein in that. Okay. Pretty low on the carb range. Yep. But maybe if you want to split a pancake, I think that'd be a fair compromise.
You got to get your own pancake. We'll just ask her for like a little dog-sized pancake.
Okay. I am going Funfetti then, if that's the case. That's my favorite.
Gotta get extra sugar in there. If I have to have a full one, it has to be With all of this, though, Mustang Classic will certainly be on its own without any additional news. You know, a fantastic set of games, a fantastic day for everyone involved. But while we have the opportunity to maybe take your Funfetti analogy and be the Funfetti of the Mustang Classic, just add a little sprinkle to it.
I like that. Yep.
You have any news you'd like to share with our big fans and our friendly listeners, our constituents?
Our potties? Yeah.
The three potty boys?
Yep, the potties. Well, if you're a fan of the podcast, make sure you tune in to the Mustang Classic because you'll not only hear myself, but Dan on the broadcast call as color commentator.
I can't believe there's going to be a lot of people that feel like, you know what? Go ahead. You got it. Yeah. Keep going.
We're going to be on the call separately, not together. Calling some games. Dan and I both have a game each day. It's going to be a lot of fun. I wish we were calling it together, but with our zero combined experience of calling a game, I completely understand able to get a solo call there.
I can't lie. It would feel a little unprofessional of them. And specifically, let's give our shout out to Coach Canabine and Glenn Clark for getting this all set up for us. Really appreciate those guys for making that connection and then for Glenn for getting us all involved and set up and all that type of stuff so quickly. So really appreciate those guys. It would be a little bit unprofessional of them to let us just have the sticks with no prior experience and zero play-by-play training.
Literally, no.
I love your optimism that going into it, you thought that that would be an option.
Yeah, you got to shoot your shot, right? What's the worst that could happen?
I mean, for sure. And honestly, this is ideal, though, because now I say ideal, and I saw your face, it broke your heart a little bit, but it's as close to ideal as we can get.
Yep.
Because it's going to spread us out a little bit, all right? We get extra games that we can get in, and it'll add some color commentary to games that otherwise wouldn't have happened. So it's a good thing in the long run. I'm sorry to break your heart with that comment, though.
it's the truth, though. I understand. It's the sad truth.
All right. Well, with all that said, we are 8 minutes in, and it's been a very funny first 8 minutes. I hope everybody's enjoying it so far. I promise we're going to get into the action here, though. But very excited for the upcoming Mustang Classic. I yelled at everybody last week if you had your ticket, and somehow we're listening to the D3 podcast, but didn't have your ticket to the Mustang Classic and weren't like a parent of a child that now you are like somewhere farther than driving distance. Like, what are you doing? Get your ticket. Isn't even at it. You have ten games over 2 days to be able to get to. It's unbelievable. Like, I don't know what you're doing. Get your ticket and get there, brother, sister, brothers. Amen, of players.
It is the pinnacle sisters of D3 lacrosse. And, you know, it perfect location. It's, you know, hour from everywhere, basically. So if you're in the area, you got to stop by.
With all that said, it's officially time to get into review, then preview. Preview will be, once again, very heavy Mustang Classic focused. We will touch on some games outside of the Mustang Classic world, but mostly just mentioning that they're happening because that's kind of how I feel. There may be other games happening, but the Mustang Classic is where the action's at in D3 lacrosse this weekend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Let's go ahead and officially do our thing here. We'll go preview mode first, and once again, I'll let you dictate the path, and I'm prepared here for you.
All right, man. Well, if I get to start the path, I'm going to go a little chronologically and wind us all the way back almost a week ago now to last Wednesday. I'm going to hit CNU going up to Tufts.
Full week ago.
Full week ago at this point. CNU going up to Tufts. And man, does Tufts have it this year, dude. Were you able to catch most of this too?
Yes.
Yes, it was.
Caught this live. Oh, you go.
Yeah, no, I was just saying it was. I really thought that it was going to be a tight one. That we would see, you know, a pretty close battle. We'd really get to see Tufts tested early on and see if they can kind of keep their momentum and offensive swing going through all four quarters in a tight battle. But we did not see that. You know, CNU offensively came out a bit flat, and it just kind of seemed like a classic early season Tufts game where they get up, they start to roll, and they just keep rolling, and there's just sort of nothing that you can do about it. Definitely gave me flashes of like the Lynchburg game against Tufts last year, where that was supposed to be a tight battle and ended up just being a complete rout in Tufts' favor. Kind of very similar in this aspect. But
slightly
there's going to be a lot
weather.
Of... What's that? Yeah, slightly better weather with that. With this
not
one.
Much better. It was still pretty sloppy and wet and gross, but you didn't have the full-on blizzard effect.
Yes. Yep. That was like sideways snow in there. Yeah. But nonetheless, I think it was a tough, hard-fought battle for CNU. They're able to take a lot away from it, knowing they faced the number two team in the country, and you know can learn a bit from it, but. I think they're still a bit of ways away in order to, you know, actually be a good matchup there in that contest.
And I won't hammer anything else home too much because I think you did a really good job with that review. I think one thing to add to what you said there is just for CNU offensively, how much of the puzzle was coming unassisted compared to what they're used to. A lot of times, you know, they're getting slid to, and at the end of the day, when it comes to like box score talk, there's a lot of assisted goals, right? Like when you think of CNU, you think of a lot of, you know, good ball work, good stick work, quick passing, you know, leading to a good shot or a feed inside, something like that. This game only had 3 assisted goals of the 10 for them. And I thought that was both smart of the Tufts staff to realize like, hey, I think we want to try and live with our matchups as much as possible and make them score some contested goals unassisted through good defense. And if that starts to happen, we can adjust. But until then, like, we'll make them score us out of it. And then on the other side of the ball, you know, like, they had plenty of assisted goals, but that's just less of a that's just more of a quirk of game flow, I would say.
Yeah, I'd agree there. Good call. But yeah, I think we hit that game nicely. Dan, what's the next game that you want to hit for a little review?
Sure, I'll take it. I'll go. Do you want to stay on that Wednesday? I'll just quickly just mention these other ones. RPI Middlebury was an insane game. RPI is trailing, I'll say, I think it's a 6-1 fourth quarter going into to end that one in RPI's favor, that they end up winning by one. So, or they win by two. So a 6-1 fourth quarter that they win by two. So they're trailing going into it, but they're trailing big time early in it. So definitely a bit of a crazy result that had a big time comeback in it there for RPI. And then Union taking Williams by a one goal margin. Union's really interesting. There's so much to like. You know, their identity, I feel like we've talked about it a lot of times, like a big, strong, athletic, tough. But this group, I think, is pretty skilled and is starting to come into their own a little bit and, you know, really mesh on the offensive side of the ball. It's interesting to me how many close results they've had. And then this weekend, they kind of take one by a few goals that could have been closer than some of the other games that you would have expected them to win by more. So just some interesting quirks there to keep an eye on there for Union, but certainly a good team that up until week five rankings was kind of on a little slow decline that now is working back towards a upwards trajectory, I'd say.
Yep. Agreed there, Dan. What I like a lot about Union is Dan Donahue. He's been playing real awesome this year. So definitely a team to keep your eye on.
I saw on Twitter that he just got his 10th Liberty League Defensive Player of the Year or Defensive Player of the Week.
Oh, heck yeah.
So double digits Player of the Week honors, I feel like, is a really strong indication of you've been doing this thing for both a long time and really well.
Yep, agreed.
All right, your turn. Next game.
All right, well, I'm going to take us into Saturday then. I'll move it right down into W&L Gettysburg, which was a really interesting matchup. It was a lot of fun. I caught most of this on the stream. Weather was kind of bad, so definitely played a little bit of a factor. But in a 15-8 game where W&L took it.
Question.
Yes, hit me.
Question. Was the weather different for one team than it was for the other team?
I would say that no, both teams played in the same weather.
Okay, got it. Yep. Just making sure. Yep. Just making sure. Okay, thank you. The way you worded it, I was it unclear.
Like maybe Gettysburg's side had some rain.
It was unclear.
Yeah, makes sense. Nope. Thanks for clearing that up. 15-8 there. Both teams played in some bad weather. But for me, the standouts were definitely Alex Brown on W&L. I think he had 4 points on the day. He was, or maybe even six, somewhere around there. He was scoring left and right, just always kind of seemed to be open on some nice cuts. And Hillis Burns, obviously, he took a lot of attention away. And, you know, the defense keyed in on him, which I think got a lot of other people involved. And then I also want to shout out Duquesne in the goal for W&L. He only ended up 50% on the day, 8-8, but he made a bunch of big saves early on in the first and even a little bit into the second quarter to make the 7-1 W&L sometime in the second quarter. That it really wasn't a game after that. You know, W&L had it the whole time and kind of shut the door early. And I think a lot of that stood on from what Duquesne did in the goal early on. So two big standouts there. And then definitely if I had one more, it would be Tyler Spano at the X. He ended up going 77% on the day. And he really just kind of made it sort of a make it take a game later on that kind of shut the door for Gettysburg.
You stole it from me.
Ah, I knew you'd like him.
Two goals. That was going to be that's correct. That was going to be my shout out. He had a huge day statistically, and it gave him a ton, as you mentioned. I think from like a mindset aspect of this game, it's an important piece of the puzzle to mention. Gettysburg, what's been the narrative with them so far this season?
Young team, a lot of freshmen playing, inexperienced.
Correct. W&L sits on the opposite end of that spectrum. A lot more older guys, some experienced guys.
Fifth years. You know,
been there some fifth. I don't know about that, but some
they definitely had one. Yeah.
Yeah. Experienced dudes.
Let's point go with that.
Point being, those guys already lost a big out-of-conference game. Gettysburg already won a big out-of-conference game. Two. And now these teams playing creates this collision course of two teams that, you know, one's a little bit more content with where they are and they're young. And then another team that's not so content with where they are and their experience. Now, if you factor in like NCAA tournament time, bids, and what this game means for the end of the season, which of those teams is going to like respond to that sentiment? The team that's like been around and seen the way that that plays out, you know, like that's seen a team like RPI sitting at home at the expense of a lesser opponent that perhaps makes it over them, you know? And that's just one example of it. You can think back to 22 Stevenson's year. In 22 Stevenson's season ends in a classroom. I thought they were the best team not to make it. I thought they were better than teams that did make it because of the way that the regions work out and the way that the AQs work out and the way that all the at-large bids are earned. So, with all that said, I felt like going into this game, it was a collision course of those old experienced guys that get how that kind of works against this Gettysburg team that's younger and just hasn't seen the way that that plays out and already has a little bit of an advantage because they've won some of those games early.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a really good point. I think very well said too.
Thank you. I try and do both those things as much as possible. A, have good points, and then B, articulate them well. That's half the battle.
It's
goal number one, honestly, is to do both of those things. It's pretty important.
I feel like I'm the king of having great ideas and not articulating them well. So that's a great point there. Let's keep this show on the road and get to another game from this weekend. Where do you want to go?
I get to pick again? Is it my turn already?
All up to you, man.
Gosh. Okay, so we've already hit... Did we hit Middlebury Bowdoin yet? No, we did Middlebury RPI, and I kind of botched the scores. That's cool. Let's do Middlebury Bowdoin. Top 10 clash, even after losing to RPI, Middlebury probably would have still been in the top 10 going into that weekend.
Okay.
So I'm officially deeming it as it was a top 10 clash still.
Okay, fair enough.
And, I mean... Honestly, Bowdoin really owns it from start to finish. They go up or they never trail. They're up by like 10 at some point. Maybe more. Hashtag potentially maybe more. And you get a lot of really, really strong performances from some guys that you probably expected it. Bowdoin still doesn't have Ethan Barnard at the X, so that's one thing to keep in the back pocket that they're going to continue to get better in a position that, you know, they did pretty well in anyways. I think as we continue to talk about Middlebury, because we have to talk about that they lost to Babson as well the very next day, that face-off position we'll chat a little bit about. But Bowdoin specifically, I mean, they, like we said, own it kind of from start to finish. Will Byrne has 2 goals and 4 assists. Oliver Bernstein has 3 goals and 2 assists. Fitzgerald has 3 goals. Like, it's a lot of the guys that you kind of expected would, be producing for him. And Fitzgerald, I think, is the one that I'll quickly shout out. I mean,
yeah, Will we've Byrne been saying for a few years now.
He kind of bursted onto the scene the Donald Mullane year, where Donald would get injured. Fitzgerald was just like, I say bursted onto the scene, and part of it was just that he was able to fill both spots. Like, his game has like a real versatility to it. But one thing that he does really well is stretch shoot. Like, he can really, really bring it. And because of that, he's always in shoot first mode. So he stretches a defense. Like, he's always a guy that you have to be aware of where they are. And because you have to always know where he is on the perimeter, sometimes that opens up stuff inside. You know, you don't want to go leaving him because he's going to leave this big step down shooter that has a reputation for being able to, you know, really rip the net. And now you have these cutters that are pretty slick inside and some good feeders that can really just put the ball on those guys' ears. And from there, it's, you know, really dangerous.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's a good point. And, you know, Middlebury, we'll talk about it, but they've had kind of a tough stretch over the past few days and are going to be looking to right the ship here coming up.
No doubt. Yeah, of course. They certainly will. And the biggest test that they have coming up is 10 days as a midweek battle with Union. So
yeah.
Two teams that, you know, frankly, are going to be in a position that really are going to want to make a big statement to the rest of the country.
Agreed. Yep. Going to be a big one there. I'm going to keep us moving here and go on to what I dubbed last week as the game of the week for this week. You thought it was that previous game, which, you know, to each their own. They both ended up being, what, 6-point games? So I don't think either of us were wrong, more wrong than the other, if you want to put it like that. But yeah, York-Salisbury, 17-11, Salisbury ends up winning. This was a pretty tight game until the second half, and then Salisbury started to pull away. Weather wasn't too great, but again, like we talked about, both teams did play in that weather, so yeah,
What's your deal with the weather?
Dude, the weather was awful this weekend, which was great for me sitting inside the couch, but sucked for the players out there. I'm also kind of salty I lost my Navy plus 1.5 because of bad weather, but we can keep moving on from that. That's
right. Wait, in the Navy game, were both teams in the bad weather?
Both teams were in the really bad weather. Yeah. And the goalie threw a pick with 20 seconds left. They ended up losing.
Have you seen the Lightning Strikes memes?
I don't think so.
Oh, they're so funny.
I think I'm privy to that one.
They're so funny. I'm not telling you what they are. And then when you see it, you're going to be like, oh my God.
All right. Well, yeah, this game was tight until the second half. But then obviously Salisbury just kind of pulled away there, put their foot on the gas. And York just really didn't have any answers offensively in the fourth quarter. I believe the fourth quarter was 3-0 all Salisbury there. And then another big thing we got to talk about in this game was the goalie switch for York. It was about 3 minutes left in the third where we saw Nash come in for Keller. Nash did step up and have a couple big saves that kind of kept York thinking they could be in it, but offensively just never found the back of the net there. But it was a tough day in goal for Keller. He found two saves, and then Nash ended up finishing the day with four saves there. So tough stuff, but a lot of things York can build on from that. You know, early on they stayed right with them. I thought Fasafani did a great job. What's that?
They go up. They go up 3-0 or 4-0.
Yeah. It starts off 3-0 right away. So, you know, they have a lot of good takeaways from this game. You know, and I thought they held Dowd's goals down pretty good. I mean, he only had one on the day. He was dishing it out pretty good.
Yeah.
For three assists, I think. And then Nestor was just having his way with six goals. But I did like the offensive output from Colton down on the York side. He's someone that's been pretty decent this year, but hasn't really emerged too much. And I think he took a big next step in this game.
All of that very well said. I will add some context to your Jack Dowd point, which I think there's two premier midfielders in the country to me in terms of like feeding ability, athleticism, shooting. Like two is in the country is harsh. I'll say two in the South.
Okay.
That really just are above the rest. And that's Jack Dowd and Andrew Cook. And I think what makes them so special is exactly what you were hinting at, their ability to also hit you as feeders. And Dowd, especially against zones, where he's such a threat as a step-down shooter, that, and I have more questions that's going to put you in the shoes of a goalie, but I'll start with this one. If you, in the shoes of a goalie, see this big shooter that's known as a shooter winding up, you're thinking, okay, here comes a big shot, right? Like it's just natural.
I'm stepping up on my arc. I'm locking in on it.
Correct. Yep. All that's happening. that's not just happening to you. It's happening to the defense, especially like in zones where you're kind of trained to be watching the ball, right? Like at least with a little eye or big eye, you know, you're watching the ball at least a factor. So now you see that, that freezes you a little bit as well. It draws your eyes. And nobody in the country is better at this exact thing than Jack Dowd. And that's stepping into one, catching a pass, stepping in like he's going to shoot it, drawing all the eyes of the defense, forcing that goalie to do exactly what you said, you know, lock in into his stance, tunnel down, see the ball, get ready for that shot, brace for impact, and then he feeds it. And not only is the defense not in a position to get to it, but the goalie is screwed, and it always ends up in the back of the net. It's also always feeding top down, which means now as a midfielder, when you're feeding top down, you're feeding closer to the goal, right? You're feeding to higher percentage shooting locations. When you're attacking from X up the hash and you're feeding up the field, you're feeding to farther from the goal. You're feeding to farther, you know, you're feeding to less lower shooting percentage locations of the field. So both of those things, the fact that like everybody's open, nobody's like everybody sucked to him. Anybody can like sneak by and get to like a lane behind those defenders' heads in those moments. The goalie's locked in, and now it's a good feed right to his ear for, you know, a layup. And that happens a ton for Salisbury.
That's a great analysis there, Dan. Damn, you should be like a coach or something.
That was a good rant. That felt good. But yes, that's why midfield feeders are so dangerous, right? Everybody loves a midfield feeder because your attackmen are usually your best hands, your best shooters, your best finishers. So if you can make one of them not being a feeder also, so that they're more likely on the other end, and then you can put them closer to the goal, dangerous.
Game over.
Dangerous.
Man, you can team this out for a team or something. Be like an offensive coordinator or something like that.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. Just thought of it.
Thank you. So with all that said, yes, Salisbury, very, very good. Salisbury midfield, very, very good. Luke Nestor had 6 goals on the day. And again, another guy that's just win matchups. He's big, he's strong, he's athletic, he's been around. And those guys, like, it doesn't really matter the look you throw at them. They've seen everything. In theory, you want to zone them as much as possible, I think. But it never tires them out. So now you're seeing them on every possession, right? Like even now in my old age, I could go run a possession of zone offense and be effective. But if you ask me to go run 40 seconds, 60 seconds of really good active offense against a man where I'm like trying to win matchups and all that type of stuff, I don't know. And so you, now you're seeing that top group just over and over and over and over again. Like, that gets scary too. So yeah, they're just so dialed, so buttoned up on that offensive side of the ball. We've done this whole thing. We haven't even talked about Jude Brown, who I think is like, you know, offensive player of the year, player of the year candidate, you know?
Yep. 100%. That's tough. They're wagging. They're going to be tough to stop this year. Looking forward to seeing who is up to the task, but let's keep this train rolling.
Nope.
No,
sorry.
Let's stop the train.
Yep, we're going to the other team. I told you I had more questions to put you in the shoes of a goalie.
I tried to sneak out of them.
Yep, sorry. You were a goalie? Are a goalie?
Yeah, are. I played a little bit ago.
You played goalie.
Yeah, I played goalie, yeah.
It's a fact. You've assumingly been pulled at some point in your life, whether it was 100%. At York or not. I believe
that at York quite a bit.
There was at least a couple instances of some softballs that then lead to.
I call them beach balls.
For the record, I don't know that Keller really had any of those gumballs that dropped. It was a lot of, you know, good shots, and you know, we just gave their offense a whole lot of praise. So, you know, we don't need to harp on that anymore. It's not like he was seeing super, super, super like savable shots. Some of them, sure, of course he wants back and he would expect himself to make as well. But question is, you have that happen a week before one of the biggest weekends of the year, 2 back-to-back games against, you know, some of the best teams you're going to see. What's the message? Like, how do you respond?
You work. you got to get out there and work. Every game I got pulled in, I at least tried to be the first person out on the field, whether it was that same day because I sucked so bad I didn't get any playing time, or that very next morning, you know, first thing, 9 a.m., 8 a.m. out on the field, I'm working. You know, so work is one. Two, you got to build the confidence back up for not just for yourself, but for your teammates. Because right now, your teammates are thinking, I don't know. Do we have the full confidence in this guy? So that comes in practice every single day, and also working your butt off and letting your team know that you are working your butt off. So I think it happens to every goalie at some point in time. Like you said, he wasn't seeing very many savable shots. He wasn't able to get into a rhythm. That's half the battle when you play these really, really good offensive teams. You need to get in some sort of rhythm where you start seeing the ball, making a couple saves. And that just wasn't the case because of the shots that were allowed in the game. So I think no discredit towards Keller. I just think he's got to get into the lab this week, work his tail off, and let his teammates know that he is this guy moving forward.
That's a great point, and one that I hadn't even really considered was, you know, the defensive confidence that obviously is a huge factor in keeping the ball out of the goal as well. All right, now you have permission to move us on. Thank you.
All right, I will keep us moving, and I'm going to let you pick.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
We'll save Dickinson Stevenson. Let's do Kenyon FNM.
Okay. That was a fun one.
It came down right to the wire. Final 6 seconds, and FNM scores it. Kenyon is so interesting to me.
They're one of my favorites too. I love them.
I was just about to say, like, from like a like no bias media human being standpoint, just D3 fan. Which, by the way, like before I was any of this, I was a D3 fan. So like, screw you guys if you're mad about you know, whatever. Which also, I don't think anybody actually ever is mad at.
I was gonna say, you getting some nasty DMs or something? I don't know about.
No,
you know I'm number one stan.
Everybody loves us. They just are appreciative of the coverage and like effort that it takes to do it, and that like it continues to happen amongst other things, you know, in our lives, between you not working for Inside the Cross, me having a baby and a new title, all sorts of things. Like, I think people are just happy that it's coming. So I take that back. We love you too, by the way. but FNM, Kenyon, one goal game, comes right down to the wire. And it was the second piece of the puzzle for a centennial trip for Kenyon during, I guess, their spring break to come out. And they played Dickinson and then played FNM. And like I said, like the D3 fan that like embraces all the chaos kind of was hoping that they'd pick one of those up. So when it was tight with Dickinson, I texted you. I'm like, dude, you got one on the line. Like, you may be in trouble here. We made that one of the bets of the week of the last weekend, right?
Yep.
We talked through that, I believe.
I think so.
So that was on the line, and then that didn't end up coming through, not for Kenyon nor for me, as we set that line at 4.5, and it ended up a 5-goal game. So right on the line, though. I don't regret anything. I'd ride with them again. And then,
I think that's the one I jinxed hard, too. I tweeted right when I tweeted the score was when Dickinson went on their run, and
that
it was over after that.
That is correct. All of that is correct. Which is nice to pass the jinx to someone for a change, because
maybe I should just start tweeting all the FNM scores from here on out.
At halftime, no matter what.
Yeah.
It's not a bad plan. Not a bad plan. So yeah, that FNM Kenyon goes to FNM in a 1-goal game, decided in the last 6 seconds of that one. St. Lawrence Nazareth, and again, the team that like most interests me out of this is Nazareth, the losing team. So Nazareth, I believe, now is at a point where this season is the most successful season they've had since I've been in this role of, you know, really focusing and covering it. So going into it, I was keeping a pretty close eye on the result. St. Lawrence wins it 9-4. Going into it, St. Lawrence hadn't scored less than 14 or less than 12, and they were averaging 14. So they were really scoring some goals. Defensively, St. Lawrence is really stout. I think they're pretty solid in goal as well.
I love their goalie a lot. Yeah.
Oh yeah. You got a shout
Michael
out.
Michael Marinello. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Absolute unit. He's a junior, I believe. I think he's got almost 65% save percentage on the year. Ooh. Just an absolute beast.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You came prepared with the stat for that one too, huh?
Oh, I love him. I ride with my guys, man. I know it's all.
Okay. All right. So yeah, and I mean we get to see him first thing. Last year they obliterated Lynchburg there, just like dismantled them right in front of our faces. And I'm excited to see him again. I'm excited to see this year's version of him. You know, Judge Murphy, I think, is the guy that really the straw that stirs the drink, so to speak, right? I like that expression. If you listen to DC Pod, you hear me say that a lot. But they've had other guys step up as well. And Ben Hutchinson was another guy that really kind of bursted onto the scene for me at Mustang Classic last year. And while we're giving St. Lawrence shout outs, let's give a quick one to my my Penn State friends who have accommodated two St. Lawrence guys, Chris Jordan and now Joe Scarfe. Joe Scarfe was on that St. Lawrence team that was at Mustang Classic last year. It was another one of the guys that like I left there really impressed with. He's now starting for Penn State, so I guess I was right to be impressed.
And he had an absolute rout against Cornell this weekend, so
he did.
Good stuff.
He guarded Michael Long, who, you know, was as touted of a recruit as, you know, they come.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep it moving here. Next one we want to hit, and I think this will be the last of the slate for Saturday's recap, and that's Dickinson 14, Stevenson 6. I know you caught a little bit, mentioned something about the weather.
Yeah, this was another slop fest. Gonna leave it at that. Leaving it at that. Now, I'm going to tell you, there is a lot of slop fest this weekend, Dan. And besides that Navy game, this was the sloppiest game that I saw weather-wise. Puddles, there was absolute puddles in Mustang Field. I might have to bring our scuba gear this weekend. I don't know if it's actually drained out since then or not yet, but that it was basically underwater for this game. So,
yeah, terrible weather. It kind of even drains out by the end of the game.
True. Yeah.
Some legit drainage back there into this abyss of forest behind that I imagine has thousands of lacrosse balls.
I was just
in it.
About to ask you how many lacrosse balls do you think were back there?
Billions? Millions?
I might quit my job and just collect balls back there and sell them to play it against.
They do
sports.
Have pretty high fences, but I'd imagine that there's quite a few back there.
Gotta be. But yes, so this one. With the slop fest, ended up being pretty tight. Stevenson was actually leading at 6-5 into the third quarter. But Dickinson kind of flexed their muscles a little bit and ended up scoring 9 straight without allowing anything to make the game end up at 14-6 there. Big shout outs for me were Scarborough in the goal for that big run. He had 15 saves on the day, so absolutely kept it in. Matt Thurston, a guy we've said his name quite a lot this year. We will probably continue to say it a lot. He had 3 goals, as well as Cullen Mulhern with 3 goals as well. So good stuff from there. And then if Stevenson's looking to take anything away against a top 5 matchup, they can get a little solace there in the faceoff X, where they went 14. They went 14, not 14 out of 9, but they won 14, lost 9. So plus on the day, that's good stuff. And then 14 of 23. That's the correct way to say that. But they did some good stuff there. And then Grant Zick had 6 points on the day, going 3 goals, 3 assists.
Very well said. Great recap. That's correct. Grant Zick, 3 goals, 3 assists. He had a point on all 6 of Stevenson's goals.
I just put that together. Yeah. All their goals. Math. He was a part of.
Math.
That's how that math works there.
And yes, you totally nailed it with Connor Halpin. Like, John McKee, I think, is one of the guys in the country that, I mean, I had him as preseason first team All-American. So need I say more? And he did a fantastic job in that matchup. Connor Halpin did. So certainly a point for them to be able to take some bright points from. And offensively, they just continue to, you know, have some lessons that they can take into a big weekend where they have two more opportunities to, you know, really land some big time wins.
Yep.
So Saturday, that'll do it. We'll move on to Sunday. In terms of like actual recap, a couple quick scores. Williams Bates 15-14. I thought that was really interesting. It kind of gets closer than you're expecting. Williams has a little bit of a buffer that then just narrows over as it gets tight. But I don't know that you ever were really, really, really super concerned as a Eves fan.
Have we decided it's Eves instead of Fs?
I've been told that before, but I really like Fs.
Okay. Maybe we can tweet Billy Football. Maybe he can clear it up for us.
Let me know if that works out.
Yeah, I'll try it.
All right. Sunday results. I know you are very interested in one of these three, so I'll just take I'll leave it for you. I'll go Babson Middlebury and start there. Really interesting. 8-6. I need to go back and find the last game between top 20 opponents that only ended up having 14? Yeah, 14 goals scored in it. I would guess that it's been very few. So that alone, I think, is really an interesting aspect of it. We've mentioned a lot of EMO man down all year. We finally see a situation where I think EMO essentially, like, I mean, literally mathematically, I don't even think I have to say it. I think essentially mathematically EMO wins the game for Babson as they go 3-for-3 and win a 2-goal game. So that's like got to be just like a huge lift and boost of confidence, both for like coaching staff, the team, the unit, all that type of stuff. Like, it's a huge deal to be able to have your special teams hit that way. And then Middlebury, you know, like now it's a 3-game loss, right? They have Amherst win under their belt. It's huge that they got that. I think had they dropped that one as well, you know, they'd be really locating that panic button, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But having that win under the belt is helpful, is, you know, nice to have. But then to lose these three, I think you're, you know, right back to the drawing board of we need to make a big time win. We need a big statement. And, you know, Union is in our path.
Very well said. Yep. I'm going to go keep this thing moving. Is that okay?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. I was really interested in what we have dubbed the 50 Shades of Red Bull. From this past weekend with Wesleyan and Roanoke, which I think is an excellent title. I think we keep that for years to come. Maybe they adopt it.
I had already forgotten it, but you are locked in.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to make a trophy for him for next year.
Are you going to go? I know you debated it for this year. Next year, you got to get it in the schedule, get it on the board.
Yep. I had premarital class for this year, so wasn't able to make it. But next year, I will be there 100%.
You probably would have moved the game if you had just let them know.
Maybe I can move it to the Swarm's home field and we can get a little thing going there.
Hey.
There we go. But I knew this was going to have some points, and boy, did it ever. 23-16, Wesleyan ends up taking it. And this was just a points bonanza. We talked about it last week. We talked about it earlier, actually.
You like that word. Bonanza.
It's a fun word. It's a fun word to say. Anytime you can say a word like bonanza and use it correctly, yeah, you got to take advantage. Bonanza though. We saw tons of goals. It was an awesome game. Wesleyan, I don't think they've scored under 20 goals in any game this year. So if you like offense, you like seeing the ball hit the back of the net, tune into one of their games. It's definitely going to go that way.
That continued today. Did you know this already?
I didn't see that. I didn't. Oh, actually, no, I did. Yep. What'd they win by, like 24-10 or something like that?
Close. 23. So 13 goal victory, 23-10 over Stockton, the Oscars.
Stockton. So they again hit their 20 or above mark.
Battle of the Birds.
Caw, caw. As a Ravens fan, I like that.
Ospreys.
Ah. Who would you take in an actual fight of a Cardinal Osprey. Or something? Right?
Cardinals an or Osprey. Osprey.
But they can kind of get in into nope. little Ospreys places. Peck at you.
I feel like Ospreys are assholes.
Do you think so?
I think so.
I've never met one personally, but I think one would definitely attack you since you're already calling it names.
No, it's just my instinct. It's my gut reaction. Pure gut. Well,
an Osprey is going to take that the wrong way when it hears this.
I didn't think about that part.
Come on, man.
Nobody leave this to any Ospreys.
Please.
If you're listening to this in public and there's an Osprey around, just...
mute it. Put your head down. But yes, Wesleyan, super fun team. Make sure you try to tune into them. And Roanoke, I mean, we talked about it last week. They're scoring tons of points, and they keep it going with 16 in this game. But you know, I think the Wesleyan firepower was just a little bit too much for them.
Last game of the weekend, another really important one, another top 20 battle, and this one actually saw Denison drop out of the top 20 as a result. Mm-hmm. While the team that we were just discussing, Wesleyan, jumps in. And that's Denison, who went on the road, lost to a good Lynchburg team, 13-4. In that game, they shot just 4 of 37. And I think the most important piece of drawing, eyes to that statistic isn't to say that they shot poorly, but it's to say that the shot quality they were creating was of the status that would lead to a 4 of 37 type performance.
Yep. Think that was very well said. And yeah, I mean, Lynchburg is kind of waiting for a game like this from them where they kind of start to get rolling a little bit and get a pretty dominant win. And I think this was that for them here. So like to see where the Hornets are coming into this weekend here at the Mustang Classic.
And that is a fantastic segue right on into our preview segment. So let's get to it, buddy boy.
Let's go.
Officially, time for Mustang Classic preview mode. Really weekend preview mode, like we said, but Mustang Classic preview mode.
Definitely.
Let's first do schedules. You want to take Friday and I'll hit Saturday?
Yeah. So starting off the weekend on Friday, we'll see York take on St. Lawrence at 11 a.m. Then we'll see CNU versus Dickinson at 1:15. Followed by the game that I will be on the broadcast for, RIT versus Washington and Lee at 3:30.
Followed scale by the 1 game. To 10, how excited are you?
9.7. Scale very 1 excited. To 10.
Scale of 1 to 10. How nervous are you?
Oh, that's my 0.3. That's where my 0.3 of excited is taken away from nervousness.
You're a 0.3 out of 10, so you're very not nervous at all.
Not too nervous. Nope.
Oh, that's good.
Going in confident and feeling good. Yeah.
You didn't need to allocate all 10 points.
I thought it was an allocation sort of deal.
Job not misunderstood. Job not understood.
fair. Then we've got Tufts Hamilton going on at 5:45 following that. And then we'll finish up with Stevenson taking the night game versus the Hornets team that we just ended up talking about there.
Perfect. Saturday, equally action-packed. I will be on the call at that 5:45 mark for Tufts RIT. Very much so looking forward to that one.
That's going to be one of the marquee matchups of the weekend.
No doubt. Love that word. No doubt. We'll kick it off, though, with you. You get to start our day. York and Dickinson, correct? That's what you have.
I'll be on the call for that one, yeah.
And then we'll move right into a 1:15 CNU St. Lawrence, a 3:30 Lynchburg Hamilton, a 5:45, as we mentioned, with Tufts RIT and your boy, and 8 o'clock we'll wind it out with Stevenson W&L.
Yep. Just a huge slate, man. This is just heaven for a D3 Lax fan right here.
All right, so let's get into the nitty-gritty here. Glad to have put out that schedule. Go get your ticket.
Did you get a ticket yet?
So upsetting. people be upsetting me. There's so much in the area too. You get a nice little meal right before, hit Buffalo Wild Wings.
I mean, the options are endless.
Jimmy John's, you got Chipotle right, right there, Chick-fil-A.
Heck, come see us at IHOP.
Gosh, they should. The IHOP should sponsor this episode of the D3 Pod every year.
We should send it to them, and then we'll
most
get
in classic
in.
Episode.
Yep, sponsored by IHOP.
Every year, I think they'd be into it. Maybe not. I don't know.
I think they would.
Sir, this is an IHOP. Order and get out of here. We have no idea what you're talking about with your D3 yeah. podcast.
I'll just be like, I always knew I was a Denny's guy. Slam the door.
All right. Let's get into some matchups, team wise, player wise, whatever. Where do you want to go? What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, let's stop right for the first matchup of the day for Friday for me. York St. Lawrence is going to be super exciting, especially to see St. Lawrence in person. Is going to be pretty sweet. Kind of reminds me of like when York saw Amherst last year in the Mustang Classic. It's a good northern battle for him. So I'm especially looking to see Fasapani go up against Patty Condon at the Faceoff X. I think that's just going to be a tough, nitty-gritty battle all day.
That's one of the matchups of the weekend.
Mustang Classic matchup of the week for the X. Gotta be
one-on-one battle of the weekend. Patty Condon versus Vinny Fasapani.
And a battle it will be. So pumped for that. And then I think the goalie battle is going to be really interesting. You know, how is Keller going to respond? Is it going to be a 50-50 thing where we might see Nash a little bit more for York? Not too sure about that. And then we talked about Michael Marinello for St. Lawrence there a little bit, but he's just been an absolute stud.
Should we go full Mustang Classic nerd status right now?
I think this is the time to do it. Yeah.
I can feel it in my, maybe not in my bones, because I'd actually love to see Jack Keller just like totally rebound and be spectacular. And, you know, like that just be a one-off thing and we're moving right along. That would be ideal. If I can't have my ideal situation, which would be that, it feels similar to a Patrick Moore, Tyler Hadley situation from Lynchburg for 2 years ago, where if you recall, Patrick Moore was the starter heading into Mustang Classic, was a little bit on the fence. Hadley had gotten a spell or two here and there. The year before, he was on the club team at Lynchburg. And then you get into the Mustang Classic, things aren't going your way in one of the games. You need a little spark, you need a little life. Coach Kadelka turns to the bench. Hadley get into the cage. Moore hops out, goes into cheer mode, really ramps up the boys, keeps the energy positive, supports Hadley. Face off on the very, you get, no goalie has ever been pulled after a save, right?
Right.
You get scored on, he gets pulled, which means now there's a face-off. That face-off gets one forward, and immediately Lynchburg is in a spot where they have to defend a 4-on-3 fast break. I think this was against, it was against either Dickinson or Dennison. I have another red team in my head. Maybe that's wrong, but that's what's in my head. And Hadley makes a foot save. The ball goes to the sideline. Lynchburg dives it out, wins that, and that marks a comeback to them coming back. Tyler Hadley's been the starter ever since. That was Mustang Classic 2 years ago. Maybe three? 2 years ago.
Honestly, two.
Two years ago. And maybe York is now in the – that would be an incredible copy-paste situation, but – it feels maybe perhaps a little bit similar to that 2022 Lynchburg goalie Mustang Classic situation that the Mustang Classic nerd in me just couldn't resist the narrative, whether it's super true or not.
I was going to say that is quite the nerdy anecdote there. But
I asked
as a goalie,
for permission. I did. I asked for permission before.
You're responsible for that. Eating it up, dude. That's
it. Also,
awesome.
Probably hits home for you as the goalie boy too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I've been on both sides of those situations as a goalie, you know, growing up, and it's tough. And we did talk to Coach Delka last year about it. And he said one of the things that made it such an easy transition was how good Patrick Moore was cheering on his teammates from the sideline. You know, he said he was just as big a part of that defense as he was before, just because of his attitude and what he brought to the table there. So a great life lesson, you know, no matter how it works out or whatever, but to just make the best of your situation. Now he's second string at Hopkins, you know, third string, maybe he's up there at Hopkins. He's up there at Hopkins.
He's a starter in my mind. That's all that matters. Yep.
That's all that matters. But yeah, so Dan, what kind of matchups are you looking forward to this weekend? What's your big heavy hitter?
I mean, I'll go for the obvious one. You left it open for me, and that's Tufts RIT, right? Like,
yep. Mm-hmm.
There were people that months ago, and I'm one of them, circled this thing on the calendar, you know. Over the summer, I was talking with Coach Childs just at one of the summer tournaments, and he was like, do you even realize that this is happening? And I like wanted to just end the tournament right there and just like start the excitement train for this game. I'd say based on some recent performances from RIT, I'm a little nervous on how it ends up though. So that plus the fact that RIT is going to have a bit more of we'll talk a little bit about Hamilton, but I'd expect that RIT Friday night has more of a battle with WNL than Tufts does Friday night with Hamilton. So that's another like aspect of the uphill battle that they'll have to climb going into it. But RIT is no team to make excuses. They'll be prepared for it. They'll be ready to roll. And that matchup just in its own, you know, like is packs a serious punch.
Yep. Yep. Couldn't agree more. It's going to be an electric, like we said, marquee matchup. I'd say the saddest thing is I won't be able to watch it sitting next to you because you'll be in the booth. That's maybe we can hold hands while you're on the call.
That would be maybe we can get an extra seat in there just so that we can still be like shoulder to shoulder. I'll just stand while you're on the call next to you, and yeah. You can just stand next to me while I'm.
Do you think we could co-comment one game? Like we got the play-by-play, and then we go back and forth with our color comments.
Do you guys have any really wide headsets?
You just smash our faces you just together.
Double head it. I'm actually a little nervous about headset size. I have a tiny dome. Like if I get there and it's all XL headsets sliding all over my head, I'm nervous.
I think I remember borrowing a hat from you one time and I was like, what's going on?
Where's
here?
The rest of it? But so that RIT Tufts is probably the, you know, team matchup that I'm most interested in. Second most is the other game that I'm on the call for. And I mean, that's why I, when given the opportunity to request the games that I was most interested in, I took, you know, these two. But that's CNU and Dickinson, which they met at the Mustang Classic last year for a phenomenal matchup. They also met in NCAA tournament time for another phenomenal matchup. I believe that one was an overtime. I'm going to double check on that one, but I think that was an overtime matchup. So both of those additions of this in 2023 were really good. Both teams bring back lots of guys from it. You know, obviously, like we do all the rankings, so like it's not super difficult to tell who we would think is the favorite going into it. But I think it's going to be a fantastic game.
Mm-hmm. Could not agree more. Going to be electric. What's like a big matchup you're looking for in either one of those games? What's like the biggest 1v1 battle you're expecting?
Yeah, so
either one of those.
It's hard to isolate one in the Tufts RIT game because I think more importantly than the 1v1 battle is like which team wins the middle of the field, like which mm-hmm. team is able to be the better team in transition, which team's able to be more polished with their transition defense. Like both of those things matter so much more than any one individual matchup that, you know, you could highlight in that one. I think if I were to go to the other one that we mentioned here, that Dickinson CNU game, to highlight just like a 1v1 battle, though, one that's going to be important is Skylar Schluter. And I'd guess that Ryan Young from CNU guards him.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that that would be, you know, an important one. And so much of that is just about like Schluter's ability to be a presence within the offense and like dictate tempo, you know, and really be an outlet for these heavy, like long dodging midfielders. Like that would be another one to highlight would be CNU's LSMs on James Isaacson and the way that CNU's short stick D mids can try and match up with Dickinson's midfielders, because I think the less you have to slide to those midfielders now, like obviously the rest of the offense kind of is less fluent. The more that they can force you to slide to midfielders so that that attackman can bang the ball around quickly and attack approaches or find lanes inside, like the better off that offense is. So I think that those would be, if I was to isolate kind of some one-on-one battles, it would be CNU LSMs on James Isaacson, the short sticks on the Dickinson midfielders just in general, and then Ryan Young on Skylar Schluter would be what I'd expect to see on that side.
Gotcha. Yeah. I think that's all some good matchups that I'm going to be looking forward to watching as well. Let's see. You want to call out some other teams that we're going to be seeing who we're kind of interested in for?
Yeah, we haven't talked much about Hamilton. Lefty goalie Jack Freed. I know you mentioned a little bit about him, but I'm pretty prepared on this Hamilton team if you want me to take it. Do you want to hit anything on Freed, or you want me to just roll?
Roll with it. Yeah, I do love Freed, but keep rolling.
Got it. All right. So I will start us off here. I think one thing that's really important for this team, Jamie Wild is the guy that, like, if I were to Madden rank this team, I think Jamie Wild would probably be the highest ranked rated player in terms of like their Madden ratings. We haven't seen him yet, so perhaps he makes a triumphant return for the 2024 season at the Mustang Classic. That would be epic. Would be something that this D3 fan would love to see. And he's an LSM that certainly gives them lots of offense, but is just a huge, really, really important piece for that team, for everything that he does for them, from wings to pushing offense and playing good defense. Offensively, though, got to quickly highlight leading scorers, Thomas Healy. He's currently at 13 points on a really even 7 goals and 6 assists. I think in the midfield, the guy to know is Justin Pearl. I've liked his game for a long time. I've been a fan. He came in with some preseason honors. And again, he's just a pretty polished skill set type midfielder, you know, like not much in 6-on-6 offensive sets that he doesn't do well. Entering the game here, they're, you know, in a spot where Friday night's going to be tough, you know, like there's no denying it. They currently sit at 1-1 in the NESCAC. They beat Bates, which part of the reason that I was shocked at the Bates-Williams score being a 1-goal game was because Bates-Hamilton was, I mean, Hamilton beat Bates 21-8. You know, they crushed them at the time of the game. But then they were kind of on the other end of a similar game in a 17-5 loss to Amherst. So I think Tufts is pretty considerably better than Amherst. Therefore, I think Friday night for Hamilton is going to be, you know, pretty tough. It's going to be hard. What'd you say? It'll be a battle?
An uphill battle.
Correct. It'll be a tough uphill battle. That said, I'm excited to see, you know, how Freed, Healy, and Pearl, you know, can respond and kind of elevate the game for the rest of the guys around them and, you know, give them a shot to, you know, take a chance. And maybe Jamie shows up with his Superman cape on and he's ready to get back in there.
That would be pretty sweet. Dan, one team I'm going to talk about a little bit here is our hosts of this weekend, Mustangs.
Love it. Yes, take it away. Stevenson.
Yes, they've been a really fun team to kind of watch. They've had some tough battles. most recently that Dickinson game where we talked about it, they were in it up until the third quarter, even winning it, just until Dickinson pulled away there. So they got a lot of talent, a lot of good guys playing well. Max Rashid is one that comes to mind. I believe he's at like 15 goals this season. So when he gets on, he is definitely a game changer for him. So Gettysburg game, we didn't see him on the scoreboard at all, really much there. So would like to see him get going. I think that's a big key for Stevenson. If they want to be battling in these games, they do have a tough one against Lynchburg Friday night. That's going to be a tough one. Lynchburg coming off that big win. And then Washington and Lee Saturday night is going to be another, that's a top 10 matchup right there. So tough battle for Stevenson. But I think a big piece for them defensively too is going to be Ryan Quinn. He's been a monster with 10 caused turnovers already this season. And I'm really looking forward to seeing him in person, seeing that big stature that he brings, and seeing his game. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and he's a great presence in the middle of the field too. I feel like he's kind of at his best when he can create some chaos, and he's got a really good stick. Don't be surprised if he scores in one of those two games. So you heard it here first. The over under on points in the two on the weekend for Ryan Quinn set at 0.5.
0.5. I'll take the over there.
Should we do 1.5 then?
1.5? Bump it up? You just like to get those dubs, don't you?
I just like to change.
I took enough L's this weekend.
That's not true. You won this weekend.
I won one. I won a 1-1 good one, but that Navy one just really set me back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. Such a bad beat.
I am sorry to hear that. Quick Stevenson shout out. I will say in that Dickinson game, and this won't be a shock to you who's had several of these types of goals scored on you, but a diving backhand from Jared Monar, which was unbelievable. It was pretty much a carbon copy of my goal in the alumni game this year. My own horn, but very similar. Diving backhand off the end line restart that was really, really pretty. So quick shout out to Jared there.
And to you for doing that in the alumni game.
Mostly to me.
Yeah.
So with all that said, shout out to Jared. We will see you this weekend, my friend. We will see you this weekend. We'll be ready for more of those diving backhands and catch that in person. Big dog, this was a fantastic episode. There's nothing left on our outline. What else do you have for us? Should we do a quick bet of the week on a game that neither one of us are on the call for?
Yes. Let's do it. Great call.
All right. Saturday or Friday or Saturday? One for each? Friday or Saturday? One for each?
One for each. One for each.
Friday or Saturday? One for each.
Yep. One for each.
One for each.
Let's do.
All right.
Let's
do Friday. I'll do Saturday.
Okay. I'm taking York St. Lawrence Friday. First game of the day.
All right. Kick us off.
Yep. Bet of the week.
We have to do three, right?
Oh, yeah, because we need a winner. That's right.
We'll come up with a fun third one on site.
Okay. Yeah, an on-site third one.
An on-site, like, we should do total goals in RIT Toughs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. Stalemate breaker. Yeah, tiebreaker. Perfect. Yeah, so I'll do York St. Lawrence. This is going to be a battle. Give me St. Lawrence minus 1.5.
St. Lawrence the favorite?
I would say St. Lawrence is favored 1.5. Okay. Who do you want?
You're going to let me take the Spartans and like openly cheer for them?
Openly cheer for them, yep. They can even lose by one.
Done deal.
Okay.
I'll take Spartan money line if that makes you.
Oh, you want to do straight money line on this game?
Kinda, just for the fun of it.
Let's do it.
I mean, if you're gonna give me 1.5, it's like what's the difference?
It is sad I have to root for St. Lawrence over York, but if I did have to root for any other team this weekend over York, it would probably be St. Lawrence.
No, it wouldn't.
They would be Lynchburg. I know.
That was a ridiculous statement.
I know. I forgot. I saw Lynchburg down there. Yep.
I could see you seeing their name on there, and like, all as you were reading it, you were picturing Coach Kadelka's face of disappointment and just being like, I need to correct this immediately.
Yeah, immediately.
Okay, so we'll do on-site for RIT Tufts to figure out a line. Well,
you have to give me a line.
Oh,
right.
Sunday. Let's do Stevenson W&L.
Okay, night game. Yeah.
We'll do the night first cap. Game and the last game.
Love it.
Perfect. Okay, perfect. Okay. Stevenson W&L. W&L is the favorite. We'll call it... My instinct is 2.5, but Stevenson's lost a couple of these top-tier teams in a row, so it'll be a little extra hungry.
And it's the big
but
Mustang.
The results
classic.
Gone the opposite. They're home. Let's keep it at 2.5.
2.5? Okay.
Could do 3.5. 3.5.
3.5? 2.5. 2.5 it is.
Let's do 2.5.
You lock it in, and I'm taking Washington.
No. We're doing 3.5.
I'm taking Washington and Lee minus 3.5.
3.5. Okay.
Yep.
So I get to root for Stevenson?
You get to root for Stevenson.
Yep. Give me my two best teams.
There you
go. Lock it in.
Your two faves.
Lock it in.
And then what's our number for Tufts RIT?
No, we'll figure it out on site so that we can tweet and people have to pay attention to us. Gosh.
There we go. You're right.
All of your content needs to somehow feed your next content. You got to keep the people wanting more, buddy.
This is a good podcasting lesson that I need.
I actually don't have any real lessons. I'm just figuring everything out as I go here, and I'm excited to have you on my team as I figure it out.
No one else I'd want besides you.
I love you for it. See you at IHOP.
See you at IHOP.
All right. Peace out, D3 Nation. See you guys on Friday.
Love y'all.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.